Good morning. It's 11:28 a.m. on Wednesday, April the 8th, 2020. I got about half my words for the day. The morning got chewed up a little bit by a grocery run. I went to the Old People's Grocery Store at 7 o'clock and stocked up a little bit. Got some stuff to have for dinner. I got some more flour. I got some more bread. They've pretty much restocked whatever the distribution chain is for bread. It's pretty much, looks like it's pretty much back to normal. The bread aisle, except for bagels. The only bagels they had were plain ones. And I missed a bet. I should have picked up some smoked salmon. I need to eat more oily fish. I need to eat more sardines and salmon and stuff. But as it was not as expensive enough as it was. So yeah, off we go. Otto's coming along nicely. So I'm gonna have to trim some of this crap out, but I can't see what the story is until I get it all in front of me, so the idea that some of this stuff might go away is premature to begin with. I've got a bunch of stuff that I have to take out of Angela's store as well. It's a beautiful morning. It's almost 70. Actually, I think it is 70 outside my back door. The official temperature is only 66. This tree has all got little tiny leaves all over it. It's a crab apple. The maple trees across from me are all budded up. Some of them have more buds than others. Tops of these trees all look like they've been winter killed. So, what am I reading? I hate to get into what I'm reading already. I'm not doing anything except writing, dealing with SIFA, which I can't talk about because it's all board business. Dealing with meals. And I always get about an hour's worth of reading in every day, even if it's the last hour of the day. So I picked up a bunch of free reverse harem. These are paranormal romance where the girl has a bunch of guys, as opposed to the guy having a bunch of girls. It's an interesting niche. It's really particularly interesting, in part because the women who are writing these stories are friends of mine. But for me, it's interesting to read to see how their perception of what a group of men who shared a single woman, how they would behave, what they would do. How that would work. I find it fascinating. It's, it's an alternative to the alpha male toxic masculinity bullshit that I find quite charming. And it's better than reading about the pandemic. Dan Sawyer's take on the end of the world as we know it. If you haven't seen it, I think it's on jdanielsawyer.com. If you really want to read it, you really want to be depressed. And you can't find it, let me know. I'll send you a link to it. It's an interesting take. The idea that the economic collapse is going to cause more damage than the health toll. And I can't argue with it. But the truth of it is, it's already happened. It's not something that we can undo now. The genie's out of the bottle. And the truth was that it was coming anyway. Dan argues that the pandemic just moved the timeline up a little bit. Morning. Lady walking along briskly across the street in the opposite direction. So, a lot of his Cuthrian, whatever it is, the family saga that he's written, Cuthrian Gambit, I think, is based on, in part, it's based on the theory of generational history, the generational theory of history. I don't know how those words go. But the idea that every four generations there is an existential threat to humanity, more or less. And that there's a significant dieback. And that it's followed by three other steps of humanity crawling back. And we're overdue. According to generational theory, we're overdue by quite a lot. 10 or 15 years, maybe. 20 years. Good morning. Good morning. The ladies who were jogger was jogging in the street. The lady gave me the sidewalk. I'm not quite sure if she thought I was too old to step into the street or was too male to get out of her way. Either one is possible. Neither was likely. I would have stepped off between the two of them. But she short-circuited that. Anyway, so his take was basically the Middle East blows up, oil prices crater, and Russia has significant problems, population because their economy is really reliant on oil revenues, and with oil revenues in the dumper, Russia's got some really serious problems. But those problems aren't just Russia anymore. They're not just the problem with population in China anymore. They're not Sino-Russia war, which is what he anticipated. It's not too late for a Sino-Russia war, by the way. There's still plenty of time for that to go down. But it's interesting that he postulates that the global collapse of the economy, when none of the economies have the wherewithal to bootstrap themselves, in large part because of the wealth inequality, there's no middle consumer class. There's nobody buying stuff. If nobody buys stuff, then nobody builds stuff. Nobody makes stuff. There's no reason to make it if nobody will buy it. And if they don't have any money to buy it, then what money they do have is going to go toward necessities like food, perhaps power. All the preppers in the world will laugh at us and point. It's an interesting postulation, and the final question, and the one that I've sort of been thinking about most lately, is it's going to take a different kind of thinking. It's going to take a different kind of world to come back from this. And what is that world going to look like? How is that going to go? Get ready, say it with me. Monk post. And yes, I hit that with my bare hand. I took my life, my health, the health of all my loved ones, into my own bare hand and slapped that post. Now we're up to four mowers. I like the looks of that one. I'm paying the guy to come and do mine, but we'll see how long that can last. So it's an interesting challenge. It's interesting, okay, what would it look like? What kind of world would we create if pretty much all of the infrastructure that we know of is no longer available? And what if there's no internet? What if there's no telephone? What if there's no electricity? The reality is that I think that those aren't necessarily going to happen. Although I could see a world where it might, which is frightening in its own right. However, I'm going to stop that line of thought right at the moment. Now, what am I reading? I am reading another one of the paranormal women's fiction books. I think this one is Cloudy with a Chance of Witchcraft. I am liking a couple of them I've loved, but I'm liking these books. Yes, okay, fine, paranormal women's fiction. But I'm liking these books because of the perspective that these authors are bringing to what is basically midlife crisis romance. And all of them have to have a husband who's a turd, which sort of goes with the territory. Otherwise, there's really no crisis. So it's like you've got to have a dead body in order to have a murder mystery. You've got to have a deadbeat husband if you want to have this kind of midlife romance pick up your life by the apron strings and move on kind of romance. Or you actually have to start with a woman who has never been married to begin with. And none of these so far have. So I'm good with it. I've weaned myself of the, well, not all arguments, because clearly no one has said all. A lot of men are really trolls. The fact that they don't know any better. You can only push that rope so far. It's just own it. If you reach 40 and you don't realize how many mistakes you've made, you've not really grown up. I'm just saying. By the time you're 60, if you don't own those mistakes and move on, you haven't really grown up. You've just gotten old. Just my opinion. I'm kind of biased. I want to think that I'm doing things right. I could be just as crazy and just as much in denial as everyone else. So take it with a grain of salt. Hot.
I was just saying, I had my push mower break last night, so I did the front, and I wasn't able to put my pump back to finish the back.
I figured it was something like that.
It's a part that I have to order. I can use it, but it's needed much, so we'll get y'all squared away.
No problem. Speaking of the guy who's going to mow my lawn, He came with a, he's got a big riding mower, and the riding mower won't go through either of the two gates into the backyard. So he has to use a push mower. He's got a smaller push mower. He just said he's got a broken part and he wants to get that repaired before he uses it. If he'd asked, I'd have given him mine. I have one that's self-propelled. Probably wider. No, probably not. Anyway, so here we go. Breeze is back. It is hot. It's getting to the point now where I'm gonna have to set my clock to go out earlier in the day, staying in until 11. I mean, it was chilly this morning. It was like 40 degrees, 35, 40 when I went out to the grocery store, and it was chilly. I wasn't dressed for it either, but it was pretty chilly. But that's the nature of night here. Night gets cold, and then the sun gets up in the sky and it gets hot. So I have to find where the temperature break happens. I suspect it's around 9 o'clock. If I were to walk between 8 and 9, that would probably be the ideal time. And then when summer really hits, we get to June and July, I'm going to have to go out at 6 to beat the heat. We'll have 100, 110 degree weather during the summer. And that, when it gets down to 55 and up to 110, you know, 55 degree span. It's not unusual. 60 degrees is not unusual. Crab apples are appling. Well, they're leafing. Big ones are the little ones. Little. One of the three little ones has leaves on leaflets. Okay, crossing the last street. Coming up on the back gate. At the point where I say tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.